Morning, everybody. Lovely to see you all here on this lovely sunny day, 6th of April 2025. And welcome, special welcome to David and Jean Mulholland today from Moray. And it's always a joy to see them here. And may the Lord bless you both as you minister to the Lord today. There's tea following the service, so please, if you can, do come into the back hall for some refreshments. I assume that in Nutterone tomorrow at 2 o'clock. There's no midweek Bible reading and prayer meeting this Wednesday due to the holidays, but it will recommence the Wednesday after, the 16th of April, and we're covering Jonah. So four chapters in Jonah for Wednesday night, the 16th of April, 7:30. God willing, there will be fitness and fellowship this coming Thursday at 6:30. Pilates on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Just some advance notice about the Good Friday, the 18th of April. Peterhead Baptist Church are having Jews for Jesus, a visit with a presentation of Christ and the Passover. That's 7:30 to 9 p.m. with stovies and dessert, like a sit-down meal with a presentation, and there will be a retiring offering. So I've put a tick sheet in the vestibule. If you want to come along, I'll basically be passing on the numbers to Mark Donaldson next Sunday. So if you are wanting to go, do put your name down, and if you've got trouble with transport and things, I'm sure there'll probably be enough cars going through for transport purposes. Easter Sunday morning, there'll be a walk and a breakfast. The walk will be 7:45 a.m. and the breakfast 9 a.m. You don't need to go to the walk, you can go to the breakfast or vice versa. Again, there's a tick sheet in the vestibule on the table there. We hope to have some of the Monday Night Kids Club kids singing on the Easter Sunday morning. We're taking the kids bowling, Tentman bowling, on Easter Monday night as well. So continue to pray for the Bairns. Members has probably noticed there's a box, and well, it was in the vestibule table, then it's been moved to the front. If you've got your selection of supplier for installing the back hole windows, do make sure you put it in the box before the start of the tea, because we'll basically be counting the votes then. Congratulations to Jim and Margaret Smith, 65th wedding anniversary. I mean, we thank the Lord for you both, Jim and Margaret. And you're a great blessing. And we pray the Lord will bless you and your family in these days. Also, congratulations to Stephen Summers, who's only 64, so he hasn't even lived as long as Jim and Margaret's been married. But Stephen is retired this week, so may the Lord bless you, Stephen, and Isabel, in the new chapter for you both. Now, Samuel was telling me last week he's going to Strathclyde University. He's got some exams, but I mean, he's been unconditionally accepted. So well done, Samuel. May the Lord bless you as you go down south after the holidays. I received a card yesterday for Graham Mayer, who of course was preaching at our anniversary weekend, end of January, beginning of February. I'll just pass on this message for Graham. Dear Norman, could you pass on my thanks to Fraserburgh Baptist Church for their very generous gift to me? Very kind of you all. I so enjoyed being with you all and felt such a good atmosphere in the church. I would encourage you to pray on and keep as a church preaching the word, loving one another, and the Lord Jesus will build the church. God has great things to do with Fraserburgh Baptist Church, with Christian love. Graham and Elizabeth, Matthew 16, I will build my church. Next Sunday morning, Mark Donaldson from Peterhead will be the speaker. And next Sunday afternoon is our turn for the service at Jarvis Court, half hour service at 3:30. And if you can make that service, that would be a blessing indeed for the residents. I think that's all the announcements. Do pray for those that are laid aside and ill. Helen hasn't been off a great, apparently, and others are laid aside, so do continue to pray for them. I think that's all the announcements. Now I'll just pass on to David now. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Norman. Morning, everyone. Let's begin our worship together by singing to God's praise. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. Father, we come into your presence this morning. The eternal one, the unchanging one, the all-powerful one. We praise your name, your greatness, for your power, for the way you've revealed yourself through the universe, through this earth, and through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for him. Again, for his life, for his words, the miracles, for his willingness to go to the cross, that place of humiliation, that place of torture and suffering, to die for our sins. And we're so grateful this morning for the Saviour, for him taking our place, being our substitute, our intercessor, our sin bearer, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Thank you that he is the risen Lord, healing in his wings. I thank your God for the work that is going on throughout the world. You said that you would build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we praise you that even as we're sitting here this morning in different time zones across the world, different nations, different tribes, different people groups, people are being born again as your word is preached. And we pray for our own locality as your word is preached, Lord, that there'll be signs following the preaching of your word. Even for ourselves this morning, we're conscious of our dependence upon you, our weakness and our need. We come to you afresh and pray for the touch, the anointing of your Spirit upon our gathering this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And we pray this morning for those who are laid aside with sickness. We commend them in your loving care. We pray for those on holiday that will know refreshment at this time. We pray for those who are grieving, that they know you as the God of all comfort. Those everlasting arms around about them and underneath them. So, Lord, lead us by your Spirit. Be with us. We thank you for this precious time to meet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Next time I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Together from Ephesians chapter 6. I was in Ephesians last time, but I'm Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through to 20, speaking about the armour of God. That's certainly what it says in the New International Version of the Bible. I was reading this week about Tony Robinson. Some of you are maybe aware of that particular man in America, a great big guy, and he's one of the top, supposedly one of the top motivational speakers in the world. And I get a lot of stick for speaking too quickly, and rightly so. Tony Robinson speaks at 240 words a minute. An auctioneer speaks at 250. I was timed speaking at 200. And I was told, to be intelligible, you've got to speak at 140. Apparently, Henry Kissinger spoke at 90. So he was like this. So folk with me falling asleep speaking to him. I digress, but Jean keeps me right, because I look over there and I get a nod and I know that I'm talking too quickly and I've got to slow down. It's a discipline, isn't it? It's a discipline. So let's read together from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authority, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, that after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness the gospel that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may be declare it fearlessly as I should. This is God's word, and he will bless it to our hearts and lives. Now let's sing Living Hope, and let's sing two hymns together before I preach. Living Hope, and then These Are the Days of Elijah, because it's a real good going one as well.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living home. Hallelujah.
These are the days of Elijah. I don't know if you've ever seen a lion in real life. I think the days of the circus and having lions at a circus, probably political correctness, and animal welfare has stopped that. But I always remember seeing him as a child at the circus in Elgin, and just the sheer power and the roar of a lion. And in the Bible, Satan is described as, one of the ways he's described is like a roaring lion seeking those who he may devour. And I want to speak this morning about the armour of God. People joke about the devil, certainly in secular society, and we've seen the images of the suits, the horns, the fork, these kind of things. Of course, in the scripture we're told that he appears as an angel of light, Lucifer as an angel of light, so it would be nothing like that. But the Christian, as Christians, we have an enemy, and the name is Satan. One of the things he does is accuses day and night. That. And he's also an adversary, Revelation 12. He's called the tempter in Matthew 4, 12. So firstly, this morning I want to speak about the enemy, the devil. If you've been a Christian any length of time, I'm sure you've been conscious of times that there's things that's happened and you've wondered, was that the devil? Now, the one thing I've seen in all of my Christian experience that really shocked me was seeing a girl get a demon cast out of her in her own church in Elgin, one of the youth fellowship. And it was the pastor and his wife that were actually involved. I was just hearing it. I was outside, thankfully, outside the vestry. And there was this tremendous commotion going on. And then she came out and she looked completely different. And this particular person was causing absolute havoc in a youth fellowship. And after it, she got converted and she completely changed. So demonization, a person being having a demon, is quite probably not as common in our own context, in our own countries. It probably would be in African countries where it's much more common. But it is something that pastors over a ministry, certainly over a lengthy ministry, may well have experienced. I also remember a scripture reader, now I can trust him because he was an absolutely solid guy and he was a brethren guy. And he told me about visiting a man in the barracks at Kinloss. And as he was speaking to him, his face was distorting as he was speaking to him, as a demon was manifesting itself from this particular serviceman. Now that's unusual. Again, it's unusual. The things that we'll experience will be more the kind of annoying things, the thoughts, the negative thoughts, the challenging thoughts over and over. But the thing we need to remember is, as Christians, we operate from a place of victory. That when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he made a public spectacle, it tells us in Colossians, of the powers and principalities disarming them. So Christians work from a place of victory. There's been suggestions that a third of the angels fell with the devil when he fell. Now, that's not clear-cut in the scripture. Certainly, there are millions of the demonic entities out and about there. Never forget, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent. The devil is limited in his knowledge and limited in his activity. How does he accomplish so much all over the world? Because I'm sure you, like me, when you hear of some really horrible things happening to people, particularly to children, you think, that's just evil. How does a person do that to another person? Maybe it's just because they're really nasty, but sometimes I do believe it's because they've got a demon inside them. That's why people can do the most dreadful things to other people. For example, some of the things that Hamas did to the Jewish people in October 7th, a couple of years ago, we see just the sheer evil being poured out. So he's got much to accomplish, he tries to accomplish, and he's got this network. In the text, it talks about being strong in the Lord, his mighty power, putting on the full armour of God against the devil's schemes. And very pertinently it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." He's having his final fling. That's what he's doing right now. I was talking to a young man this week, or communicating as we do through social networking, 18-year-old. And he's blacksliding, he's struggling with a certain aspect of his life. And I was saying to him, you need to run to God, not run away from him. And sometimes, in our Christian experience, the devil will say to us just to cool it. Don't be too committed. Don't get too passionate. He wants to cool us down. He wants to switch us off. And he certainly wants to distract us. He knows our weakness, and he will try and exploit it relentlessly. That's why Paul says, put on the full armour of God. And he talks about standing. When the day of evil comes, you may stand. And I think the suggestion is here in the text, there are particular days for the Christian where you experience raw evil, where you experience the full blast of hell. The important thing is that we're prepared. The important thing is that we have put on this armour that God has provided for us. So if the temptation is money, folk are often tempted away by wanting more and more money. And all of us will have seen folks that have been shipwrecked by putting their energy and their time, not that it's wrong to be wealthy, God needs wealthy Christians as well, but some folk have put all their energy into making money, they're becoming richer and richer. And probably all of us know people who are no longer around the church, who are no longer walking with God, because my dad used to say, sometimes the problem with us in the northeast of Scotland is our God has got an L in it, gold. And God has an L in it, gold. And then there's the folk who get into relationships that they shouldn't be in. And the folk round about them warn them and try and advise them and will say to them, and they end up, and then you see a bright Christian. A bright Christian getting involved with somebody, often a non-Christian, and being pulled away. And a friend that was backslidden for 40 years. And the woman he married left him, and he's never married again. And just recently he's come back to the Lord, which is great to see. But so many Christians have been shipwrecked because they've been involved with people they should have never got involved with. So we've got to be wise. We've got to be wise as the Lord's people. Very important. And of course God tells us in his word in James chapter 1, if any be lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously. So there's an enemy. We're aware of his devices. It tells us in the scriptures, we know from our experience, and we see it at every level in society. Don't be surprised, you see it in the government. The Muslim worship that was taking place, so to speak, in the corridors of Westminster, recorded on Australian Sky Television, it was on the internet, our Prime Minister. And I think the question that many people are asking is, will there be an act of worship for the Christians come Easter? I think you know the answer to that. No. I'd be very surprised if there is, but we shall see. And we see that other religions, which are idolatry, that's the reality. People in other religions are in idolatry, whether it's Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism, they're being led astray and they're caught up in these other religions. And of course the devil's having a field day because he thinks, oh, it's fine. If they're over there in their corner chanting, they're fine, they're They're not doing any damage. Whereas a Christian, when we begin to live for Jesus, when you begin to speak out for Jesus, when you begin to witness for Jesus, you're a marked person. You're a marked man or woman. That's the reality. And some of us will experience at work, and where we've been studying, and at school even, we'll have experienced demonic attack. Maybe not recognized it as such, but demonic attack. People ridiculing us, people downing us, saying negative things about us and our faith. But we need to stand strong. That's the reality, and God has given us what we need to stand strong. Secondly, there is the equipment. The armor of God is only one offensive weapon, and that is the sword of the Spirit. This precious resource that we have, the Bible, which is something that we really need to get to grips with. It's not an easy book to read and to study, but it's the most important thing. One of the most important things, alongside prayer, I will ever do, is to read this book and to familiarize ourselves with it. So Paul speaks about the belt of truth. The belt of truth. He talks about standing your ground. Enough you've done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth around you. Satan is a liar. If our life is controlled with truth and God's truth, we will defeat the devil. And the belt is the one thing that holds the armor together. In one word, integrity. Integrity. And when we see a man or a woman or a young person as a Christian who lives a life of integrity, you stand out. People notice. How many of us have been at work and people have said, "Well, you don't swear." Or they've even apologized for swearing when they've been in your company, because they've become conscious of their own foul language. That's Christians being salt and light, of course, when that happens. The need for truth. And in the culture we're in, with the social networking and so much fake news, so much untruth in our societies, in the newspapers, in the media, it's important that we have discerning to know what's true. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she was telling me she was at a conference. And she said, there's one woman got up and she spoke, and she was from a church in Aberdeen, the Deeside Christian Fellowship. Some of you may have heard of it. And she was just tremendous, she said. It really was. And you were gripped by what she said. And it was solidly biblical. And she really dealt with the text properly. And then she says, another woman. Oh, she said, I just switched off. Because all she did was tell stories. And then, but the woman from this side, she was back on in the afternoon. And she was terrific. And I had to say to her, you know what it is? You've been in a church where you've been exposed to, you've sat under systematic Bible teaching. And what's happened to you when you went to that conference was this. Your worldview has been built around the Bible, around the Word of God. So that when you go in a situation and all of a sudden you're hearing somebody that's just telling you pleasant little stories, just switch off. Because you've been used to being fed properly. And you're blessed, I believe, where you are here in that, that you've had that experience with your pastors over the world, over the years that you've had systematic Bible teaching. I mean, in a context where there's not that, what happens is people are all over the place. Oh, we need to have our lives built on truth and in God's truth. And of course, the opposite is duplicity. And again, we'll have experienced this in our culture where we think, that's near right. That's near right. There's always somebody, isn't there, trying to pull over our eyes. We think of the scamming that goes on, the endemic scamming that goes on through the telephone and through the media, and even people knocking on your doors. That's what we had recently. People We'll knock on your doors trying to scam you. And we're being instructed. We've been instructed. And that's helpful to watch out, aren't we? When there's a dodgy number comes up my phone, Jean's there quicker than I am, and she says, oh, that's a scam. You see, when you're used to what is true, you can quickly sort out what's not true. And we need truth and God's truth. Then Paul goes on to speak about the breastplate of righteousness. And that was from here right down to from up near the neck, right down to the thighs. Breastplate of righteousness. Our righteousness as Christians is in Christ. All our righteousness is but filthy rags, our own righteousness. And there's also the importance of living a righteous life, seeking to do what is right. The shoes, what does it tell us? Fitted with redness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, the Roman soldiers wore shoes which were strong, robust material construction. To be involved, so you can, when you're involved in battle, you're able to stand firm. That's what we need as well, isn't it? And I think what's come in the text here is it's talking about a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, a willingness to witness, a willingness to share. That's not easy. That's not easy. But it is possible with God's help. And sometimes our witness may not be in what we say, our witness will be in what we do and what we don't do. Because people notice. Think of the farmer who doesn't harvest on a Sunday because he believes, as a Christian, he shouldn't be working on a Sunday. I know there's exceptions. There are folk that are offshore that must work on Sundays. There are people that are nurses and doctors. I can think of one farmer that I know who won't harvest on a Sunday because he doesn't believe for him, as a Christian, it is right. And people have noticed that he doesn't harvest on a Sunday. And he's done very well. Done very well without harvesting on a Sunday. So the shoes, the witness, our witness as Christians, so important. See, the folk that we know best, the folks that we've worked beside or work beside, our neighbours, we get to know folks, hopefully, as we're praying, until if you pray for opportunities, they will come. The barriers begin to come down. I know Albert's told me many stories about folk that he's spoken to with the boats and with the RNLI. Because you develop a relationship, person gets to trust you, and then they'll be open to talking about, they'll often be open to talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, grab the opportunities. Because I think it's exciting as we share our faith. And even more exciting when you get to see people that you know become Christians. You may not see it in your lifetime. Perhaps as we talk to folk, we're just planting a seed. Somebody else will come along and water it. And it'll even be maybe once we're gone, once the Lord's taken us, that person becomes a Christian. Just think of this couple here. I'm embarrassing them now, 65 years of marriage, but the faithful Christian service of Jim and Margaret Smith and looking after me, and that took a bit of doing, as Jean will tell them, overnight in breakfast, I think it is in Kirinbulg, isn't it, rather than breakfast. But Christian folks showing hospitality, showing Jesus' love, over and over again in a practical way, and I know that Jim and Margaret aren't alone in that, because you're people who do that as a church, and it's a thing. It's noticeable about the coast is that folk are very hospitable, and the hospitality opens the door to a deeper relationship with folk, an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Keep doing it, folks. And keep witnessing. And then there's the shield of faith. The shield of faith which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, the shield was oblong shape, so it was 4 feet high, 2 feet wide. It was steel and leather cover. And often what they would do in battle would be they would interlock. You may have seen it in some of these films. Spartacus comes to mind, where you see them interlocking their shields, and the arrows would come in, raining in, and the shields are doing their job to stop the arrows. Two characteristics of an arrow. It is swift and it is noiseless. You don't see it coming. And Satan shoots arrows at our hearts and our minds. Lies that can come into our minds. Blasphemous thoughts that can come into our minds. The hateful thoughts about others. The doubts and the burning desire for sin. Folks, this is not easy. Resisting the devil is not easy. At times it can be exhausting. But the shield, walking by faith with the shield in place, we can extinguish the fiery darts of Satan. Think about the telly. And the generations past would talk about the evils of the television. And of course, when it first came out, there was all kinds of discussions. I mean, know that the telly on its own is neutral. There's good and there's edifying programs, but there's also stuff that is not good for Christians to watch. And it's sad that you really need to go and dig deep to find films that don't have swearing in them. And I know that it's so easy just to be watching something, all of a sudden the changes becomes a bit more sinister and the storyline or whatever. How now to be careful what we watch? Remember the old chorus, be careful what you watch, be careful what you hear, be careful what you see, be careful what you say. That, as Christians, is so very important. Raise that shield of faith. Faith, not just an abstract thing, but faith in the living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. A lady down in London, this man walked into this lady's house and she said, I've come to visit the woman of a strong faith. She says, oh sir, I'm not a woman of a strong faith. I'm a woman of a weak faith in a great God. Perhaps we can relate to that today. Our faith is in a great God who's all-powerful, all-knowing, unchanging. And in all that's going on in the world, folks, all that would perturb us and upset us and throw us, of course, perhaps at times, the Sovereign Lord is on his throne. The Sovereign Lord is on his throne, the Word of God tells us, and we can be assured of that this morning. Then there's the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. It mean? Well, I think it means just to be conscious of the fact you're a Christian, to meditate upon the fact you're a Christian, have a mind controlled by God. I've already alluded to memorizing texts and meditating on doctrines. See, the more of this we get into ourselves, the better, so that the text will come readily to mind when we're in a situation where we feel we may be tempted to compromise, maybe even be tempted to give up. We come back to the God's book, we come back to the Bible, the scriptures, we find in there refreshment and renewal. May I say, read good Christian books. Martin Lloyd-Jones. More accessible probably, Warren Wiersbe, Charles Swindoll, Don Carson. More recent times, good, solid books. Men who in their writings point us to Jesus. Men who in the preached point us to Jesus. can trust what they write. And the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, as I said, the one offensive weapon that we use when the thoughts come in, when the doubts come in, we use it. We use it to overcome Satan. It was Martin Luther who said, you can't stop birds flying over your head, but you can stop them nesting there. You can't stop birds flying over your head, but you can stop them nesting there. And I know, I think you know what I'm saying here, is that there's the temptations, there's the challenges that come at us all the time. But, and the habits can't stop the birds flying over, but can stop them nesting there. We cut off with God's help the habits that are not helpful. And each one of us, myself included, need God's help to do that. So folks, there's the enemy, the devil. There's the equipment. Somebody said there's no backplate. Other people say there is backplate. There's an argument about that, I don't know. But for me, we're on the offensive as Christians. I don't think there is a backplate, because we're on the offensive. We're on the front foot, and we're going forward in the power of God. And the crucial thing is we go forward together. Too often we're fighting each other when we should be fighting the devil. And that's what he likes. Question of dividing and conquering. How we need to resist him. So there's the enemy, there's equipment, and then there's the energy. And now we're talking about prayer. And I understand when Graham was here, Graham Mayer, he spoke on prayer. And it is a key thing, alongside reading and the studying and memorizing our Bibles, is prayer. And it's probably the hardest thing for most of us. It's a discipline. See, the folk you would see running out in the roads, wherever you go nowadays, you see folk running, don't you? And the less fit ones jogging. And sometimes it'll be a really coarse day. The wind's blowing, raining heavily. But the folk that's committed to being fitter, they're out there. And they're jogging. And they're running. Prayer is like a bit like that. It's a discipline. It's a discipline. And for me, I find it an awful lot easier when you meet with others. I had the privilege of being in two prayer meetings on Wednesday, and I'm not super spiritual. It just happened to fall in the same week of the month. 1 week's joint pastors, once a month, pastors and evangelists. Another one is our own prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. And I don't know about anybody else, but I found it very often I've not felt like going. For a number of reasons. Remember, we've got 8.5 miles to go to our church. And in a November night, when it's really cold outside, and it's pitch black, and you're thinking to yourself, But what I've discovered is this. Inevitably, when you go, you're blessed. When you go, you're blessed. Praying with others is so precious, and it builds us up. And we'll learn from praying with others. Folk that have been on the road for many years, we'll learn by listening to them. And we're blessed by their prayers. Some of you will remember Edward Holloway. I don't know if I've ever spoke down here in the Brough, but he was a Baptist minister, and he's now 95, I believe, and he's living down in Kent, better weather down there. He moved down to be with Sheila, his wife, to live with a relative. And Edward was the kind of man that when you listened to him in the prayer meeting, it was an education. And I used to listen. He would sometimes pray for 5 minutes, and then for some people that is quite long. And I would sit there and I'd think, wow, it was worth coming tonight for that. Because you'd be refreshed by his prayers. You'd be lifted up by his prayers. And that's what happens when we pray. And Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Prayer is the sinew which moves the muscle of God. Ron Dan, some of us will remember him, used to preach at Keswick. It was Ron Dan that said this. In the upper room, they prayed for 10 days. Peter prayed for 10 minutes, and thousands were converted. And that's so encouraging. Let me say that again. In the upper room, they prayed for 10 days. Peter prayed for 10 minutes, and thousands were converted. If we want to see people converted, if we want to see our backslidden friends and relatives coming back to the Lord, we need to pray. And we need to be much in prayer. So, we have an enemy. He doesn't have a holiday. We have a great God who's on our side and fights for us and fights with us. But folks, let's do it together. Let's do it together, standing firm together in Christ. For the Christian, you see, the best is yet to come. And maybe this morning you've not taken that step. I said to that young man, 18-year-old, earlier in the week, don't run away from the Lord, run to him. I say this morning, if you're not a Christian, run to the Lord. There's a lot of talk in our culture about living your best life. Well, your best life is living for Jesus. When we recognize we're sinners, when we ask Jesus to forgive our sins, we repent, we turn around and go God's way as opposed to our own. And we put our faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. It is a step of faith, but it's one we will never regret. And I'm sure there's many of us here this morning, folks that will be listening as well, and we can remember a day in our experience when we got off the fence, when we stopped making excuses, and we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For me, it was 45 years ago next month, and I have no regrets, because my testimony is God is faithful. And time is passing. And time is gone. It's 12. And none of us know when that moment will come. We need to be ready. We need to be ready to meet the Lord. The battle's raging. Raging all around us, through the media, in our culture, even often in our families. Dare I say it, sometimes in our churches. But we'll look beyond men, women, as Murray McChain said, to God. One look at men, 10 looks to Jesus, and that's what we do. And that's the right perspective this morning. Let's now sing together to God's praise before I commit us in a word of prayer. Amazing grace, my chains are gone. I hope this is our experience today, that our chains are gone. Because that's what happens when you get converted, your chains are gone. Without Jesus, we're chained. We're tied down. We're lost. We're on our way to hell. But when we accept Jesus, we're born again. And we have the hope of heaven and peace with God. Let's sing this together and stand as you're able. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Thank you.
Our God and Father, we come to you, and you are the all-powerful one. You are the one who, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has defeated death, the devil, and his demons. We thank you for that scripture in Colossians, how the Lord Jesus, in his death, made a public spectacle of the powers and principalities, disarming them. And we thank you, as Christian people, we can stand with this armor in place. We can overcome. We can be victorious. Lord, help us to do so. Help us to be those who meditate upon your word. Help us to be those who are people of prayer. Lord, we struggle, but we thank you your Holy Spirit comes to help us in our struggles. And we thank you for the fellowship of your people, your saints. We thank you, Lord, our brothers and sisters. And I ask, Lord, your blessing upon all of us this morning. Lord, that we would stand tall for you. Be bold witnesses. Live clean lives. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Him who has a pure heart and clean hands. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of meeting for tea now to refresh us. We ask your blessing upon it and our further time together in Jesus' precious name. Amen.